CWR Talk Network is not just another talk radio network. We are the champion for important causes and issues like financial literacy. That is why so many people listen to the Lionel Shipman Shape Your Finances show. Lionel is a seasoned veteran in the finance industry, but more importantly, Lionel cares about people. He shares his vast knowledge of the finance world in a personal way that goes beyond dollars and cents, with advice that makes sense. So let Lionel help you get your finances in order or avoid costly errors in judgment that may be devastating to you and your family. Listen to the Lionel Shipman Shape Your Finances show every Tuesday exclusively on the CWR Talk Network at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Central.
And hello and welcome to the Lionel Shipman Shape Your Finances show here on the CWR Talk Network. And I am your host, Lionel Shipman. It's so good to be with you again, and thank you so much for tuning in. I want to give a huge thanks to all of my regular listeners, and of course, thank you so much for your new time listeners, for the new listeners tuning in tonight. Thank you so much for joining in. And I want to give a huge thanks to God for another day to make a positive difference in the lives of other people. And as I have done for, I guess, about five or six of my last episode, I want to just alert all of my new listeners. I've been getting a lot of new listeners here lately, and I just want to make sure that you know what my show is all about. My radio show is a financial and life empowerment show, focusing in on improving your financial outlook. But we're also here to give you some life lessons. That means educating you in the other important areas of life, mind, body, and spirit, to help you live life to the fullest. So in a nutshell, we're here to help you. Now, unfortunately, we've been having some technical difficulties. My guest tonight, we're trying to get her on the line. For some strange reason, the line keeps dropping, so we're going to move forward, but hopefully we'll be able to Oh, she's there. Okay, good, 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 good. How you doing, Brandy?
Fantastic, fantastic.
Good, good. So hold that thought. So we got Brandy on the phone. So let me continue with my spiel, and then we go right into our segment. Now, tonight is the fifth episode of the Women and Finances series here on the Lionel Shipman Shape Your Finances show. And for those of you who don't know, I started this series back in January, and it will be running through the month of July. We may end up going into the month of August because I've been getting a lot of good positive feedback on this particular series. But this series, basically, I have a number of guests from various professions, various backgrounds, talking about finance and money. But we're also going to talk about the challenges, the struggles, and the achievement, the successes from the perspective of women. And I'm so thankful that for my past guests, we had back in January, starting this off, we had Ms. Dionne Blanks. Then we followed up with Ms. Lanice Germany. We had Ms. Aisha Wonderful. And last week, we had Amy Vitrone. And so we're going to continue on with tonight's episode. Like I said, this is the fifth episode, and we look to do many more shows until we reach the month of July. And like I said, we may even go into August because the shows are really, really great. So tonight, the call-in number is 917-889-8078. Again, the call-in number is 917-889-8078. And if you didn't know, you can listen to all of the programming here on the CWR Talk Network. We can be heard on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. I know for my shows, I've actually took it, I guess, a little step further. You can go to my website at www.shipmanconsulting.com. And I have created a page specifically for the show, And I've created a gallery of all the past guests that I've had here on the show. So you can see all the good-looking people that we've had here on the show and just click their face and you can listen in on their particular episode. But I've also had all of the shows cataloged, so all of these solo shows that I've done, speaking on various financial topics and other life matters. You can click on those and listen to those at any time that you want to. So tonight, my guest is the owner and principal coach at Living Abundantly, where she coaches families to shift their mindset to bring future goals into present reality. Through these sessions, she encourages self-awareness for her clients to develop their own action plan, whereby they are empowered to take measurable steps toward reaching their personal and financial goals, such as home ownership, debt elimination, career advancement, and more. She has a BA degree in communication and a master's in management, and is a certified executive coach, an accredited financial counselor, a financial fitness coach, and a mental health first aider. Brandy is also a member of the Dallas VA Community Veteran Engagement Board, a military veteran peer network facility, and an advocate for women veterans. In addition to serving her community by providing financial education, Brandy is very involved in her local veteran and military community. She has been instrumental in building a network of women veterans and spouses who support and encourage each other. She currently provides personal financial counseling to veterans in the Dallas-Fort Worth area through partnerships with local area nonprofits. Brand is the mother of two darling daughters and happily married to her handsome husband, who is also a veteran of the United States Air Force. So we're just going to go right into it. Welcome to the show, Brandy. How are you today?
Thanks, Lionel. Fantastic.
Good, good. We went through those technical difficulties.
Yeah, that was crazy, but I'm glad it all worked out.
Good, good, good. Well, it's great to have you here on the show, and it's great to talk to you again.
Thanks. You know, I was preparing for this show, and I was thinking about all of the amazing women that you have already had on the show. And I must say, before we get into any of the questions, that I'm just honored to be amongst the women that have had an opportunity to talk about their journeys and their experiences in personal finance.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. And I'm quite sure they thank you as well. Now, I want to make mention as well, it should have been pretty much spelled out, but we want to thank you and your husband for your military service as in the U.S. Air Force. So thank both of you for your service.
Well, your thanks is definitely appreciated. And just as a little aside, oftentimes when my husband and I are out in public, he wears a baseball cap that says Retired Air Force. And as you can imagine, and as the lady listeners can also imagine, women don't often wear baseball caps everywhere we go. And so often folks will see him and say to him, thank you for your service. And there became a point where I got really frustrated. And I said to him, I said, you have to start telling people that I serve too, because I am not wearing a baseball cap. So I really appreciate you including me in the thanks.
Absolutely. You know what? And I think I may have mentioned this to you. My wife served in the Air Force as well.
Yes, you did mention that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I got a somewhat similar story, and I won't hold the time. But, she has a tag, has Air Force on the back. And, you know, sometime we're out, and people automatically assume, well, thank you, Lionel, for your service. And I go, it wasn't me. I said, my wife served. They go, oh, okay. I said, well, look, I served in other ways. And my wife will always look at me and say, stop saying that. You didn't even serve in the military. So thanks to all three of you. And you may have to get your cap, Brandy.
Well, you know, the funny thing is I do have a cap, but I've got this glorious hair, and I just don't feel like putting it under a cap.
I hear you. Well, hey, we'll remind your husband to make sure the next time that he gets a compliment or get a thank you, that he makes sure that he nudges and say, well, my wife also served as well.
Exactly.
Cool.
Exactly.
Yeah. But like I said, thanks again for being here. We're gonna move right ahead in the show.
Sure.
As I do with all my guests, I love to hear about their story, especially their personal or their personal money experience or their personal money story growing up. Will you please share mm-hmm. your experience and your story?
Yeah, absolutely. So growing up, my mom was super creative with managing our cash flow. She was a single mom with four daughters, and she was determined to live on her own, right, without handouts. And so I have several memories of sitting at the kitchen table with her and couponing. This was before couponing was a cool thing to do. And we would look in the sales paper and make sure that, you know, we were getting the best price for the products that we wanted to bring into our home. And I remember sitting at the dining room table, my mom, this was back in the day before so much technology, when we would manually write out checks, pay our utility expenses and our cost and our rent. And I remember having the conversation with her about the check and the checkbook. And at the time, she didn't realize she was educating me on the value of, you know, managing your finances. And my mom had this amazing game that she would play with my sisters and I, where we would pretend that it was movie night. And so we would get buckets of pennies. And she would set prices for different things around the house. So, you know, a can of soda would be 10 cents or a bag of popcorn would be 25 cents. And we always had pennies. And to this day, I think that was pure genius because it required us to count. And, you know, we would have to pay admission to watch the movie. And so when you're growing up 8 or 9 years old, this is just a game. This is just a family activity. But now as an adult, I see in her own creative way, she was instilling in my sisters and I the importance of managing our money well, the importance mm-hmm. of making sure that we were paying the best price for our products, and then also the importance of understanding how cash flows. Because if I wanted to buy 2 bags of popcorn and I didn't have enough money to buy soda, then I was able to experience real time what that lesson was. So it was very, very creative for her to instill that in us. Now, one thing that my mom did is when we were preparing to go to college, she said to us, do not get credit cards. Now, I didn't ask her why not. And at the time, she didn't really go into it a lot. But I'll tell you, that was the number one financial mistake that I made, was getting credit cards in college. And I'm of that generation where when you entered a college campus as a freshman, you were greeted with T-shirts, pizzas, and a credit card. And so I learned some really valuable life lessons walking through being overextended on credit and having to repay and not being able to repay and having creditors call your home, call your grandmother looking for you.
Man.
And honestly, I almost didn't make it to the military because my credit score was low. And I remember saying to myself, I will never be shackled like that ever again. And so that began my journey on personal financial education, empowering myself, and then ultimately beginning to put myself in a position where I could empower my community.
Fantastic. I can relate to that college experience. When I graduated college, I had 5 credit cards. I always make a joke of this because I had a you know, about 2 or 3 gas cards. I had a Visa, I think a MasterCard, and a Discover. And the only thing that came out of those 5 cards, I discovered that I was in a lot of debt, and the bill, they put the bills in my name. They didn't put it in my parents' name. I still can't get over that. And, you know, and then they expected me to pay it back. And if I didn't pay it back, they wanted interest on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a lesson learned. And thankfully, you know, being educated, and like I said, I started early in banking, and that's what helped me overcome and enlighten me in the world of financial education. And here we are now, that you're teaching living it on an everyday basis. So thank you so much for sharing your story.
Yeah, no problem. You know, you mentioned about understanding with interest and having to repay. And I think for me, that was the aha moment. When you're exchanging pennies with your sisters and your mom, the interest conversation did not take place, right? And so as a young college student, I realized that I was very naive and lacked understanding around the world of credit. And so that became something that I wanted to fully understand. And once I joined the military and I was in a better position financially, because I was, you know, receiving regular paychecks and my cost of living and all of those necessities were taken care of, I really began trying to figure out how to understand credit. And my first introduction to financial education was actually in the military. At the Air Force Base, they had financial classes, and I went to every class that was offered because I needed to know how to experience financial freedom.
Oh, fantastic. Well, that's fantastic. A lot of people don't take advantage of that. I'm glad that you did, which probably, so that, would you say that kind of led you into the field of finance and especially starting your own business?
So honestly, what led me into personal finance was my experience when I realized that I didn't know, right? A lot of people growing up in the community that I lived in didn't talk about money, didn't talk about investing, didn't talk about saving. Folks were just making it, right? Living the life that they could live with the income that they had. And so after the military, I married my husband, and he and I got together, and we neglected to have the all-important money talk. And so I often describe it as he had his little molehill of debt, I had my molehill of debt, and then somehow together we ended up with a mountain of debt. And not really having a clear strategy of how to, you know, get over it, go around it, or go under it, I decided to plow right through it. And so I began reading everything that I could get my hands on, subscribing to Money Magazine and subscribing to, you know, other books and reading financial content. And I realized then that there were some core principles, right? Sound financial advice does not change from year to year. You basically save, you spend less than you earn, and you want to make sure that you have some set aside for a rainy day or for a future surprise, if you will. And then I kept seeing these principles coming across in every piece of content that I picked up, no matter how it was dressed, right? Some people will call it this or call it that, but at its core, it's a sound financial principle. And so I began telling other people, hey, do you know if you do this, this will happen? And I remember when we were stationed overseas, I was telling some of the other spouses about these things that I was learning. I was really excited. And as I began seeing these principles manifest in my own life, right, saving more than we were actually spending and putting our money in vehicles that were earning interest, as I saw these principles really manifesting in my life, I started telling others about it. And I will never forget this young airman. He said to me, why are you not teaching these classes? And I was like, what?
Okay.
He was like, you should teach this stuff. People need to know it. And I'm thinking, well, I mean, it's just everybody should know this. It's right here in front of us. And being the lifelong learner that I am, I said, well, before I can teach, I must. And I enrolled in a program, a financial planning program. And while in this program, one of my instructors, Sandra Davis, she just opened my eyes to a whole new world of personal finance that really involved the mind and behavior surrounding money. And when that conversation started, I knew that that's what I wanted to teach. I knew that I wanted to help people understand the relationship that they were having with money and how some of the messages that we receive as children, that we receive in our growing up years, how those messages influence the decisions that we're making today, and we are often unaware. So that's when I really began saying, you know what, I'm going to figure out a way to do this so that I can spread this message to more people.
Cool, cool. So that's how living abundantly That's the whole concept. I mean, not the whole concept, but that's the basis of what you're doing. Okay, perfect. I like that mind and behavior because those are the main gist. If you can, I always say, change your mindset, you change your life. You change your mindset, you change your behaviors. And that is something that a lot of people need to know and understand regarding money. It need to be mind over money, not money over your mind.
Right.
Fantastic. Now, who or what was a major influence in your life? You know, with starting a business, you know, having a military career, who or what was a main influence in your life?
So, in addition to my mom and the example that she set, Fonda really kind of gave me the exposure, if you will, that a business could be created, if you will, or a business could be started in personal finance. I had not seen growing up, I did not have a lot of entrepreneurs in my family, and the entrepreneurs that I did know, I knew of them, right? We didn't sit around the table and talk about how they were doing it. And so entrepreneurship was very foreign to me, and Fonda really helped me to see that that was a viable possibility. But my greatest influence has been my husband. He is my champion. He has created this amazing life for me where I can take risk and do a business and try to, you know, establish it and grow it and scale it and all of those great things. But he is my sounding board when I'm wrestling with a concept or an idea. When I feel like I have just, you know, gone crazy, he's the one that brings me back to center. So he's been the greatest influence. And now that we have children, I look in my daughter's eyes every day and I say to myself, I must do this for them. One, they need to know that it's a possibility, that they have options in their growing up years, whether that be college, entrepreneurship, or military. So I try to model all three of them for my daughters so that they know that they have options. So those are the folks that have really influenced me and continue to influence me as I'm striving to leave my mark in changing the world.
Fantastic, Brenda, fantastic. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to continue our conversation. So ask everyone to stay tuned, take a quick break, because we're only going to go for maybe like a minute or two, and we're going to continue our conversation with Miss Brandy Baxter. So stay tuned in just a moment.
Listening to the Lionel Shipman Shape Your Finances Show with host Lionel Shipman on the CWR Talk Network.
This message is for all of you sitting in the passenger seat, and apologies if it gets a little uncomfortable, but how does it feel to be at the mercy of someone who thinks a random text is more important than your life? Someone who takes their eyes off the road while speeding along in a 3-ton hunk of steel. Freaky, right? Well, why not just ask them to stop? Or better yet, volunteer to text for them. It might be a little awkward, but believe me, you'll live.
Learn more at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes. And you can do it at DoIHavePrediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to, are you? Kids, work, listening to the radio. You're busy. Which is great, because busy people can't get prediabetes. Oh my, I read that wrong. They can.
Should have worn my glasses.
So visit doihaveprediabetes.org and take a short test, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Welcome back to the Lionel Shipman Shape Your Finances Show with your host, Lionel Shipman, on the CWR Talk Network.
Well, we're back, and we're continuing our discussion with Brandi Baxter in the fifth episode of the Women in Finances series here on the Lionel Shipman Shape Your Finances show. And we've kind of covered some ground with Brandi, and now I want to kind of delve into some meat of doing this particular series, not only speaking from the financial perspective, but also just to talk about some of the challenges and some of the struggles that you may have faced along the way. Some of those, Brandi, and how did you overcome those challenges? And do you have like a certain methodology that you use when you're overcoming challenges or struggles?
Yeah, absolutely. So my biggest challenge is how men will support each other, but oftentimes they don't support women. And so breaking into entrepreneurship, I didn't have anyone kind of locking arms with me and walking alongside me and kind of saying, this is how I've done it. I didn't find that readily available for me. And so I tend to, well, I found myself rather trying to build this on my own. And then a good friend of mine introduced me to the SBA. And so they really helped me get my business into a position where I could be proud of it. That was my first challenge. My other challenge is I wrestle with something that is called imposter syndrome. And I don't know if you're familiar with the vinyl, but imposter syndrome basically is when you have all of the gifts, all of the talents, all of the skills that God has given you and that are needed to show up and deliver whatever it is that you're going to do. But some kind of a little voice in the back of your head says, who are you? Why you? Who do you think you are? And so as a result, folks like myself that struggle with this don't show up. We don't put ourselves out there. We don't deliver what we have been gifted and equipped to deliver. And so the name of my business is Living Abundantly. And sometimes people will say, well, why didn't you call it Abundant Living, which is more grammatically correct? And I fully understand that because English is, I love English language. But Living Abundantly speaks to in progress, something that I am currently doing. And how am I doing it? I am doing it abundantly. And it actually comes from a scripture out of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, where it says, now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly. And so whenever I find myself wrestling with this imposter syndrome, I remind myself that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above anything that I can even think or anything that I can ask. And so that motivates me, moves me, and pushes me to continue stepping out there. And now I wake up and I have this post-it on my mirror, and I say, today is the day I'm going to change the world. And so I challenge myself to change the world.
Absolutely.
And so that has, so that has become kind of my go-to process, if you will. I put sticky notes on my bathroom mirror so that as I'm standing there, I can encourage myself and I can receive positive influence. I have recently established a network of women who are in personal finance. I've found that sometimes women of color in personal finance don't know each other and don't know how to support each other. And so in 2017, my business partner, Tina and I started an organization called Black Girl Fin Magic, and Fin is short for financial. And we support, grow, and promote women of color in the personal finance space. And that community has been so supportive of me and has really just challenged me to continue being part of the conversation and not allowing imposter syndrome to have me sit down when I should be standing up.
Oh, fantastic. Now, how long have you had the organization?
So Black Girl Fin Magic was started. Yeah, so Black Girl Fin Magic, it's actually more of a promote group where we take the women's and we promote their their content, and we support them by offering training monthly. We have a talk show where we try to tackle some of the tough conversations that women of color in personal finance are dealing with. We share resources with each other. We have local chapters where we will encourage the women to get together face-to-face, because technology is great, but it's not best. It's not the best. And so when you are looking someone in the eye, that's the best way to promote them, support them, and help them grow. So that organization was started in 2017. And Living Abundantly started as an idea and a dream in 2013. And this year, 2019, I have positioned myself to legitimize it, if you will, and, you know, get some of the paperwork and all that organizational stuff squared away so that it can really scale and thrive going forward. So those are the two adventures that I have going on these days.
Fantastic. I applaud you. Oh, fantastic, Brandi.
Thank you.
Now you have a website for both. If you don't mind, I usually do this at the end, but go ahead and give me the website
for both
Living Abundantly and for Black Girl Financial Magic. Okay, go ahead.
Perfect. So Black Girl Financial Magic is Black, B-L-A-C-K, Girl, G-I-R-L, and then FIN, F-I-N, which is short for financial, the word magic, magic.com. And that website, you can connect with our team, join our newsletter, join our Facebook group, which is a private Facebook group where we can just talk freely and share all of our goodies with each other. And so, yeah, anyone can. And we also have a public Facebook page where you can kind of stay connected with us as well. Now, Living Abundantly is for personal finance, where I do my financial coaching, and that site is the word time, T-I-M-E, the number 2, and then the words live abundantly, and it phrases time to live abundantly. And I went with that because I wanted my clients to realize that by coming to my site, they were stepping into the opportunity for themselves to have an abundant life. They were stepping into that opportunity that this is the time for them to live abundantly. So those are my two websites, blackgirlfinmagic.com and timetolivabundantly.com.
Oh, perfect. Now, you told me, I know we talked the last time, you mentioned about a workbook called The Three Little Divas. You have to tell us about
yes.
The Three Little Divas.
Oh, my gosh. I'm super excited to talk about The Three Little Divas. So The Three Little Divas is a workbook that I have been working on, and it's, like, so close to completion that I actually – your audience is the first to hear this announcement, but on my website, I have the landing page where you can sign up to get a pre-notification and pre-order your copy of the workbook, and it will come with lots of other goodies as well, some freebies that I'm throwing in there, so you can go to my website to find that. I didn't tell you, Lionel, but I also have a personal brand page, which is simply Brandi Baxter, B-R-A-N-D-Y, Baxter.com. And so BrandiBaxter.com/divas, they can go to that. It's easier than trying to remember the other one. But BrandiBaxter.com/divas has the link to the Three Little Divas website and landing page where you can learn all about it. So Three Little Divas are these imaginary characters that they're three sisters that I used back in 2016. I used these characters as a teaching tool for personal finance, representing money personalities, right? And at the time, the audience was all female and they were women veterans, coincidentally. And the response that I received was overwhelming, right? Initially, it was just a teaching tool. And I didn't have a bigger vision for it. I just thought it would be something fun to teach these sisters and their different money personalities based on their personalities and how, you know, one might be a little shyer, one might be a big spender, one may be thrifty, one may, you know, make good decisions, one may not. And so I was using these personalities to teach financial principles. And my good friend, Andrea Lewis, she said to me, she said, you need to write a book. And it just so happened that another friend of mine, Lila also is a publisher. And so they both were like, you need to write a book. And I sat on it again, like I mentioned, that imposter syndrome. I sat on it for about a year and didn't do anything with it. And then all of a sudden I felt this pricking in my spirit that said, Brandy, if you don't use the talents I have given you, I will take them away. And so right then and there, I got up. And I'm a super busy person because in addition to running two businesses and being a mom and being a wife, I'm also a student. And so I was like, where am I going to have time for this? But I'm super excited to say that I have finished the workbook. And in fact, it's with my editor right now, and I'm looking forward to launching before the end of this month. So anyone that goes to my website and pre-orders the workbook in the month of April will get, you know, access to some really cool goodies and learn a lot more about the Three Little Divas.
Oh, fantastic. See, that's great. That's great. I have to get me a copy as well. So
perfect.
Cool. Yeah, good, good. Thank you so much. Now, as we are coming down to a close, we have about another 5 to 10 minutes here. What advice, I'll say in closing, what advice can you give to other women? Just taking the opportunity right now, what advice, 2 or 3 points, feel free to share with us.
Yeah, so the first thing I would tell any woman is find a supportive network. I don't care if you have to have 21 questions, if you have to have them go through an obstacle course, if they need to go through some sort of basic training, but you want to have a supportive network of people who can celebrate you when you can't celebrate yourself. I've been super blessed to have folks around me who, when I don't see something for what it can be, they always speak into my life all of this potential, and that's what motivates me and encourages me to keep going. So the first thing is have a supportive network. The second thing is have faith. I am a believer in Jesus Christ, and so that's where my faith comes in, and I make no shame of that. You know, I don't promote my business faith-based, but people that know me, they know that everything starts there with my faith. And so I encourage people, whatever your belief is, you need to anchor into a faith-based system. And then the third thing is I encourage women, don't sacrifice your family for your business. It's not worth it. At the end of the day, yes, you can have a humongous bank account and you can have all of this financial wealth and all of this financial success. But my grandmother said to me, Brandy, no one asks for their bank statement on their deathbed. And that was powerful because when you're lying and facing death, you want your loved ones surrounding you. But if you sacrifice them so you can grow a business, if you sacrifice them so you can grow wealth, if you sacrifice them so you can grow personally and professionally, you're going to be left alone when it really matters the most. And so those are my top three things, a strong support system, a strong faith system, and a strong value with your family.
Amen. I can only say amen to all three of those, and not just for women, but hey, but for all of my men that are listening on the show as well, this information is good for all. So, Brandy, thank you so much for connecting. I'm so glad we were able to talk. I guess it was back in December, January when we first got on the phone to talk, and then thank you so much for the conversation we've had since then and being a guest here on the show. Thank you so much for being here tonight.
It has been my pleasure. Thank you.
Oh, you're more than welcome. Well, everybody, that's a wrap for tonight's, I guess, the fifth episode of the Women and Finances series here on the Lionel Shipman Shape Your Finances show. Now, you can catch my show every Tuesday night, excuse me, at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And if you've missed any of the past shows, you can catch them on my website. It is www.shipmanconsulting.com. And like I said in the beginning of the show, I have created a gallery of all the past guests, and I have a listing of all the shows that we have done here on the CWR Talk Network. So please, I would encourage you to go and listen to the past episodes, but to also catch up on with this series because we have, this is the fifth installment, so you'll make sure you want to listen to episodes 1 through 4, some great, great guests that were on those shows as well. And if you don't follow me, if you're not connected with me, I would encourage you to do so on social media. You can catch me on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And, of course, if you're on the LinkedIn, the professional website, you can also connect with me there. Make sure you stay tuned for the next few months. Like I said, I have a number of guests that are going to be here on the show as we continue our Women in Finances series. Now, in closing, as I often tell you, I want you to remember these words regarding your money and your life. Give cheerfully, carefully, and invest wisely. We will talk to you next week. And as we get ready to close out, you know, I love to close out with a little smooth jazz. Check out this song by Mr. Paul Jackson. It's called Lay It Back. Take care, everyone.